Now, I want to just talk to you a little bit about my job as president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, because I had to do a lot of media work. And these are some of the topics that I had to cover, but a lot of the media work I had to do was related to mental health legislation, because we had a very difficult mental health bill going through Parliament. And the battles, Baroness Cumberledge will know all about this and the difficulties, because it was an act which was being argued about for 8 years. And we, with 80 other mental health charities, felt that people's human rights and the value of people with the human value of people with mental disorders were not being respected fully in the legislation that was proposed. So I did quite a range of media interviews. And sometimes they became very personal. And they became very personal because the press were interested in interviewing me if I was prepared to talk about my family and my daughter, rather than just talking about the circumstance of mental health legislation. I'm going to show you, if it works, an interview that was that I did with Fern Britton and Phil Schofield on This Morning. And the first part of the interview is with a service user who works with me.
It's Professor Sheila Hollins, who is here actually as the president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and she also happens to be mum of Abigail Mitchell, and also Jenny Antonio, a diagnosed schizophrenic. Sheila, before I want to hear about what you think about the bill, I do want to talk to you, Jenny, because you have had many experiences of the Mental Health Act as it stands. You were diagnosed with schizophrenia, I think, in your early 20s.
In my late 20s?
Late 20s. And over the last 20 years, I've been in and out of hospital, sometimes having been sectioned. So what does it actually mean? What happens to you at the hands of the current law?
I'm usually very confused when this is going on, because I'm really quite ill. One is usually either in hospital or taken to the hospital and you're interviewed by a doctor and then another doctor and a social worker. And if they all think that you need to be sectioned, they section you, and there's a lot of paper they have to fill in. And then the person being sectioned, I would get a sheet of paper with my rights on. It says you are being held in this hospital on the advice of two people. You may not leave, you may not do this, you may not do that. I have to say that I absolutely hate that moment, because I know I'm basically being locked up against my will. But after a little while, the relief of not having to deal with the way I am is amazing.
Okay, Janie has had a very successful career, but which she gave up in part to become a service user and advocate involved with us at the Royal College of Psychiatrists. She works in other places as well, but helping us with training and with research, and is very interested in how psychiatrists in the future can learn from the experiences of somebody who has direct experience of being a service user. Now, the next little clip is about recovery. And I'll say a bit more about that later, but it begins with the word recovery, which you might miss.
I think recovery is about adjusting to the illness or the condition that you've got. Just like Janie is a wonderful example of somebody who has made a wonderful recovery from her illness.
It's still there.
The illness is still there. But she's in control of her own life. And that's what we really want for the mental health bill. We want people to be, whenever they can be, in control of their own life, in control of their own illness, in control of their own treatment, and only actually have that control taken away when they don't understand what's happening to them, and, of course, if they're a risk to themselves or to other people.
Right. Thank you both very much indeed. Thank you.
Okay. Right, so we have in psychiatry at the moment a recruitment problem, and there are a number of other challenges which face us. our services are underfunded. We don't have parity with physical health services. I think there is a very low expectation of what is acceptable in mental health services compared with what's acceptable in services for people with physical health problems. The stigma and discrimination we've talked a little bit about. I have been all the way through the Darcy work and leading up to the announcement and the launch of Lord Darcy's report, I've been pushing the no health without mental health message. And on Monday, when Lord Darcy stood up to launch his report, he said, "There is no physical health without mental health." I was very pleased. He didn't actually write it in the report, but he did say it when he launched it. We think it is incredibly important that this message gets across. Okay, so those are some of the challenges that we're currently facing. The reason we're told that medical students do not choose psychiatry in sufficient numbers is because they think it's not scientific. They think, and it's true that there's less research done in mental health, mental disorders, than in physical disorders. But actually, there is some very good science and some very good evidence. And in some ways, there is better evidence for the treatment of some serious mental illnesses than there is for the treatment of some physical disorders. But that's the perception they have. They have a perception that there's a poor prognosis. And yet, if you have a first diagnosis of schizophrenia, a quarter of people will not have a second episode. Early intervention really seems to work. It's a better prognosis than a first diagnosis of diabetes. But perhaps most importantly, there is good research evidence now that medical students do not choose psychiatry because other people say don't. Okay. So there's something very important here. And I moved into psychiatry from general practice because I realised that my work as a GP was probably 60% or so about people's mental health. And I hadn't been trained adequately for it. Now, that's a long time ago, and I know that things are changing. But very few GPs have mental health placements. And it's only fairly recently that mental health has become an essential part of all GP of the GP curriculum. The Royal College of Psychiatrists does offer some things to medical students. We're trying to raise awareness of the possibility of a good career in psychiatry. And we're trying to involve them in projects to try and attend to the images of psychiatry. We are trying to explain to young doctors that they can come to psychiatry late, perhaps because they've been a graduate entry student, maybe because they have had a career in something else first. One of the most famous psychiatrists, Henry Maudsley, did a placement in psychiatry when he was doing his final exams in surgery and stayed in psychiatry, as do many people, shift from one career to another. We particularly value students who come to medical school with a background in psychology and the humanities, something a little broader, not just for A grades and science subjects. But we need good scientists too, and we welcome people who've got PhDs in neuroscience as well. There are exciting scientific advances. It is changing. Genetics and neuroimaging are going to make a huge difference to our diagnoses and will help us to target our treatments much more effectively. And we believe that that legislation such as the disability discrimination legislation that we have now could make a huge difference in ensuring that people with mental disorders have equal access and supported access to all health services so that their physical health is not disadvantaged. Because one of the difficulties about having a mental illness is that actually it's likely that your physical health will be much worse than the rest of the population too. So if you have a diagnosis of a serious mental illness, it is likely, or if you have a severe learning disability, your life expectancy is greatly reduced, and not for very good reason. These are just some pictures of projects that we've been doing to try and raise awareness for young people about mental health, school teachers learning about mental health so that they can support school children. Another one is a project in Northern Ireland, which is getting teenagers to debate issues about mental health. And it's an annual debate, inter-school debate, with prizes, which is proving very popular. Now at the college we're launching a Fair Deal campaign, and we're doing this, Fair Deal is the acrostic for all the things which are listed there, and the eight priorities we identified were identified by members of the college, psychiatrists, but also by the patients, service users and carers who we consulted throughout the last year to find out what they thought the issues were. And the fundamental theme running through all of it was the lack of equality that people with mental disorders experience and the lack of value that seems to be attached to their lives. And it brings us back to that whole issue that's been discussed so much already today about how the value that we give to human beings and to our patients is really, I think, at the heart of what we as Christians and Catholics in healthcare need to be addressing. My last slide is just to draw attention to the website at the Royal College of Psychiatrists. This is we're very proud of our website because we get top ratings. We're the in the top mental health website for the Sun, for the Times, and the BBC is asking us to do their mental health information now. But we get a huge number of hits on this website, and it's very important that public health information is given by an organisation which has the authority to present that information. So there is information which is readily accessible, and it's available in a very readable form for people who are not mental health specialists. So I would really want to say that I think one of the challenges that we have is to become much more familiar with mental health and mental ill health, to be comfortable with the language of mental health and mental ill health so that we can talk about it and so that we can support colleagues and patients, family, parishioners, neighbours, and really understand how important good mental health is in all of our lives.